This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
Time now for the Noon Farm Show, brought to you by Wayne Schaefer, your country insurance agent in Jerseyville. Prairie Farms Dairy in Carlinville tastes the homemade goodness of Prairie Farms. Area Diesel Service of Carlinville, M&M Service Company, the local solution to your world of needs, and by Jersey County Grain Company in Jerseyville and Hardin. And now, here's WSMI's Angela Besh.
Thank you. For a closer look at how traders are feeling coming up to USDA reports to be released next week, I spoke with market analyst for Water Street Solutions, Arlen Suderman.
The traders are really torn right now about what kind of positions they want to take into next Monday's USDA quarterly stocks and acreage reports. Particularly the quarterly stocks reports are known for their surprises. It's not unusual at all to have prices move the daily limit lower or higher on the day of these June 30th reports because of USDA surprises. And looking back at those surprises, there's no logic as to whether they'll be bullish or bearish at the time. It's pretty difficult to even determine where the greatest risk is. So traders generally don't like to be leaning too hard in either direction going into those reports. At the same time, though, they're facing some pretty bearish new crop ratings coming from USDA, with the highest corn ratings of the last 15 years for this point in the season, the seventh highest on record, and the highest soybean ratings for this week of the year on record, suggesting big crops of both. Now, granted, there's a lot of time between now and harvest, but right now what traders are basing their decisions on is those high crop ratings and the fact that the weather looks generally good. Granted, we have excess of moisture in the northwestern Midwest, but for the nation as a whole, it looks good for the foreseeable future. So traders are basically right now saying, okay, we're willing to take the risk of leaning to the bearish side of the market, and so we're seeing a bias toward weakness overall in the grain and oilseed complex.
And what are your projections on what we're going to see happen next week?
The acreage report, I think that's the easy part, at least it would appear so ahead of the report. I'm looking for a very slight decrease of a couple hundred thousand acres or so on the corn side and just shy of a million acre increase in the soybeans. I think as we look at overall the crop progress and the overall dynamics through this planting season, I think that's a trend that we're going to be looking for. And just a little bit of a decrease also in spring wheat and durum, but nothing of any great significance. On the stock side, my biggest fear, well, let me say this. If you look at the stocks for corn, the odds of getting a bullish surprise significant enough to change the direction of this market at this late date in the marketing year is very thin. Can't rule it out, but it's very thin. When USDA is projecting a 1.1 billion bushel carryout, in order for this trade to be worried about running out of supplies before we get to the end of the year, we'd have to have like a 400 or 500 million bushel surprise, and that's not likely at this late date in the marketing year. Soybeans, you could easily have a surprise either way. USDA's data to this point would suggest the tightest stocks that we've seen in the last 35 to 40 years for this time of year. However, the cash market doesn't feel that tight. The cash market doesn't have the feeling that we're that bullish. And so from that standpoint, I have a concern that USDA stocks may provide evidence that USDA underestimated the size of last year's crop.
All right, lots to consider as we go into next week then. And you said that we're experiencing pleasant weather for growing conditions for corn and soybeans, but for the wheat producers out there who are trying to get in and harvest the wheat that's ready to go, this moisture could be a problem.
It really is and has been. Obviously, as you look at the plains, lack of moisture was a significant problem. Short, thin wheat. Now I'm trying to harvest the crop. Excessive moisture is the problem. And there's a flush of weeds coming up in the short wheat in the muddy ground, making it very hard to cut with the combine header riding right on the ground, and it's very frustrating for farmers. There are quality and yield issues there, and ultimately I think increasing the abandonment rate that we will see. The trade's not impressed by that, though. On the soft red winter wheat crop, it was rain during the flowering stage that led to a lot of scab, and now vomitoxin is a significant problem, with some wheat being discounted to the point of the price of corn or even being totally rejected. I've heard of producers who had done an outstanding job of forward pricing their wheat for a good price, and now they don't have any wheat to deliver against those contracts because the vomitoxin levels are too high for it to take delivery. So it is a real problem. We saw a surge in basis at Gulf export terminals yesterday on fears among exporters that they wouldn't be able to acquire enough quality supplies of wheat to export. Basically, we're establishing a two-tier market now within the soft red winter wheat market that is a good quality and that is has high vomitoxin.
Do you think that this year's wheat harvest is going to be able to fulfill all the needs that we need to fill?
Well, the hard red winter wheat crop is going to be very difficult. It'll probably meet domestic needs. Some farmers are just happy to get enough seed to plant this next year. We're just going to scrape by. On soft red winter wheat, I think there's going to be enough export competition from Europe and the Black Sea that we'll probably get by. If we had short crops in either of those areas, then the problems in the United States would be very significant on the global market. But right now the trade is saying, no, we've got enough wheat elsewhere in the world. There is some heat and dryness building up in Russia's spring wheat belt that we need to keep our eye on. Forecasters differ on the significance of that heat and dryness, some believing that it'll just simply cut national production by a few percentage points, others thinking that it'll be much more significant, similar to what we saw in 2010. So that's a story we need to watch in light of the problems here in the United States. It makes that dryness there a little bit more significant now, but so far the market's discounting it.
Again, that was market analyst for Water Street Solutions, Arlen Suderman. That's all for part one of this afternoon's Farm Show. Stay tuned for part two, coming up after this.
Every time the heat and humidity of summer combine to stir up a thunderstorm, many farmers hold their breath because they know what hail can do to standing crops. You can breathe a little easier if you have crop hail protection from Country Financial. It provides acre-by-acre coverage and offers a longer coverage period than most companies. Plus, this year we've added a $45 individual plan and $90 group plan, along with our existing replant coverage options. Find out more today. Contact me, Wayne Schaefer, Country Financial representative. Give us a call at 618-498-5800.
June is National Dairy Month, a perfect time to enjoy the benefits of milk and milk products. Check out the selection of farmer-owned Prairie Farms dairy products in your grocer's dairy case. High-quality milk, butter, half and half, cottage cheese, and yogurt. Milk and other dairy products provide about 75% of needed calcium, along with protein, vitamins, and other minerals. And if you're dieting, many of Prairie Farms products are also available in low-fat and non-fat varieties. Taste the homemade goodness of farmer-owned Prairie Farms.
Now is the time to make sure your show animals have the perfect feed for show season. VitaFirm from Jersey County Grain guarantees improved feed utilization in both forage and grain diets. And Jersey County Grain can also pelletize custom rations for convenience and less waste. Call Jersey County Grain in Jerseyville or Hardin, or check their website for quotes at jerseycountygrain.com. You can also get grain bids by email or text. See Jersey County Grain for details.
Every minute M&M Service can save you on the farm means more time to spend with your kids. That's why M&M Service is your one-stop source for farming, information, technology, value-enhanced grain programs, diesel fuel, propane, grain handling systems, so much more. M&M Service is dedicated to making your time in the fields more productive, more profitable, and more efficient. Because they're a family operation, too, they understand how important it is to spend more time with your kids. For more information, visit M&MService.com. M&M Service Company, the local answer to your world of needs.
If fuel prices are costing you a small fortune, Area Diesel Service can help with five new Agricultural Diesel Solutions modules. Now over 400 applications can get up to 35% more horsepower. And these performance modules aren't just for combines. There are modules for light and medium-duty trucks. Truck Edition modules will give your Powerstroke, Cummins, Duramax, Dodge, Caterpillar, and International pickups and work trucks increased horsepower and up to 3 more miles per gallon. Call 800-637-2658 or go to areadieselstore.com for more details.
The USDA released the Illinois Crop Progress and Weather Report. Wheat harvest is underway in Illinois, with farmers harvesting 20% of the crop by June 22nd. Heavy rain showers continued throughout the northwest and northeast parts of Illinois, while the rest of the state received less than 2 inches of precipitation. Statewide precipitation averaged 1.45 inches, 0.54 inches above normal. There were 3.8 days suitable for field work for the week ending in June 22nd. Soybeans planted reached 96%. Soybeans emerged reached 93%, ahead of the five-year average of 86%. Soybean condition was rated at 73% good to excellent. Corn condition was rated at 78% good to excellent. Sorghum planted reached 85%, ahead of the five-year average of 81%. Oats planted and oats headed reached 95% and 74% respectively. Pasture condition was rated at 2% poor, 26% fair, 52% good, and 20% excellent. Topsoil moisture was rated at 5% short, 77% adequate, and 18% surplus. Subsoil moisture was rated at 1% very short, 11% short, 80% adequate, and 8% surplus. Soft red winter wheat fields in southern Illinois are under pressure from a disease called head scab. The fungus causes the grain to be harvested along with a toxin sometimes referred to as DON, short for deoxynivalenol, or vomitoxin. Infected wheat is discounted or docked at the elevator. University of Illinois Extension plant pathologist Carl Bradley says there isn't much to do about the problem this year other than turn up the fan speed on the combine in the hopes of blowing the bad wheat seed out back. But there are some good management practices farmers can use for next year's soft red winter wheat crop.
Well, you know, the number one thing for management of this disease is really going to come this summer whenever they're thinking about what variety to plant. There are some varieties that have higher levels of resistance, and those are really the ones I think for our climate here in Illinois, our risk is always there for scab. And so we really need to be picking the varieties that have the highest level of resistance. Dr. Fred Kolb, who's a wheat breeder here at the University of Illinois, does a screening every year. He has a scab nursery here on the U of I campus where he puts out mist irrigation and takes, I think, all of the varieties that have been entered into the Illinois Variety Testing Program and then evaluates those for scab. And all that information is up on the web along with the variety at the U of I variety testing site. So if you just Googled Illinois variety testing, it's going to take you to that page. You can go to the small grains page and you can find the information about scab. So that's the number one thing. You know, another thing that it's maybe a little more, it's a little tougher for farmers to do, especially in southern Illinois, but we do see that the risk is a little higher when you're following corn. Now, the reason it's a little tougher for farmers in southern Illinois, because in parts of southern Illinois, the corn comes off first, and so it makes it a little easier to get your wheat planted timely to follow corn. So we have seen that the risk is a little bit higher after corn. However, that risk can be lowered if you really seek out those resistant varieties. Corn stubble is really the number one inoculum source for this disease. And so this fungus also affects corn. And so the corn stalks that you see laying in your field likely are infested with this Fusarium graminearum, and that's where the spores are going to come from that will infect the wheat heads. And the other piece of management is fungicides. We have some effective fungicides. However, one of the things that we've seen is you really can't fix a very susceptible variety. And I know a lot of farmers did spray this year because there was some risk out there, and that was a good management practice to do. But unfortunately, In an environment that's very favorable for this fungus, you are not able to fix a very susceptible variety. So a fungicide is only going to give you about 60% control. And so, but if you combine the fungicide with a resistant variety, then you can get up to about 80, maybe even 90% control. And we've seen that in some of our research studies that we've done here, as well as other researchers in other states.
Again, that was Carl Bradley, Extension plant pathologist at a University of Illinois. He says farmers in southern Illinois can better manage head scab in their wheat crop by doing just a little research. That's all for this afternoon's Farm Show. For WSMI, I'm Angela Besh. Thanks for tuning in.